Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. We have a great show in store for you today. I am so excited about our guest, Simca Gluck. Simca is a keynote speaker and global trainer who has been running successful companies since the age of 20. He moved to the startup nation of Israel from New York about a decade ago and has spent the past 5 years as the co-founder and chief fun officer of FreshBiz. With over 10,000 hours of professional and personal development, Simca is the author of the book, The New Entrepreneurs, Changing the Way You Play Life, published by Wiley, and was the radio show host of Innovation Nation. Currently, Simca lives his passion for traveling and educating people around the world on how to refresh their lives and businesses through the cutting-edge FreshBiz methodology and the power of game-based learning. It is my pleasure to welcome Simca to the show today.
Thanks so much, Belinda, for having me on your show today.
Well, great. So why don't you take a few minutes and just give us a little bit of your background about that journey of what brought you where you are today, and then tell us a little bit more about your business today.
Sure. I grew up in the U.S. I was actually born in Virginia, moved to Maryland when I got a little bit older, and then moved to New York. And that's where I pretty much grew up in most of my life. I went to Queens College, and I studied for business and marketing and media studies. And I know that we have this in common, our direct selling background. So it was while I was in college that my wife and I actually worked for Vector Marketing, basically selling Cutco knives, doing in-home presentations, and really developed a tremendous respect and a tremendous professional ability in terms of sales and marketing and appointment setting and goal setting and just the whole world. And it was really amazing that actually when we graduated Queens College, so we were chosen to open up the New York City office for the company, and it was a crazy experience. We every single year recruited, managed, and trained about 500 college student sales reps, and we literally sold millions and millions of dollars of product line for sure. We had a blast, and really sharpened ourselves. We got probably some of the best business skills possible at such a young age. And I think that what was really interesting, it was a very good distinction, was it was about 11 and a half years ago where one of our manager friends that was a mentor to us, we really looked up to, recommended that we go do this transformational weekend workshop that's a personal development workshop. And we hadn't really heard about that stuff. And we wound up doing this incredible weekend transformational workshop, and it totally changed our lives. It changed my marriage. I'm married now for close to 16 years, actually. It was revolutionary. And that got me into the world of coaching. I'd been in the world of mentorship and managing, but stepping into the world of leadership from a coaching perspective. And what had happened, finishing this whole curriculum for living, as it was called, over the course of a year, we wound up basically having our best year ever as a company. And then essentially we sold our house and our cars and our business, and we moved to Israel 10 years ago so we can really, for us, live the next level of our dream in the startup nation of Israel. I have just a little background. My grandparents were seven generations of Jerusalemite Jewish people that literally this was their homeland. So it was really, really nice to come back here to this ancient place, but as it is right now, which is just an incredible startup nation full of technology and innovation and things like that. And it's been a gift to be able to be here and have a couple of kids here and raise two kids who are speaking two different languages. And so that's a little bit in terms of catching up to where we are now. And then I guess just to bring us even more current, 6 years ago, just from my coaching background, I was invited to this incredible workshop. I never heard about this before in my life. It was an entrepreneurial game-based workshop. And my partner, he's now my partner, but at that point, Ronen Gaffney, brilliant person, had created this incredible game where playing the game develops a whole new way of thinking and makes people smarter and better and faster. And essentially, I was invited to the first ever FreshBiz workshop in English ever. So this was a pretty cool experience, and it wound up being really a very eye-opening game and a real paradigm shift in terms of just there's a lot to say here, but it really moved me, and I left that night going, I need to be one of their trainers. And I wound up being one of, let's say, their first 10 trainers in the world, and developing that relationship with Ronan that created a game about 6 years ago when he knew he wanted to take it global. He gave me a call and said, I want to make you co-founder. Let's go take this thing global. And over the past 6 years since, we've taken about 55,000 professionals literally across the globe with 200 partners and trainers of ours through really epic, fun, game-based training experiences. So the book, The New Entrepreneurs, that you mentioned before, translated, we just translated about a week ago into Hebrew, and in about 6 weeks, it's being translated into Spanish. And it's been, at this point now, our game is in about 8 different languages. It's been really an incredible entrepreneurial journey for myself, and also the ability to be able to really impact people at a very high level. So that's a little bit of a sum up, if you will.
That's awesome. That's a great story. And, I know I've been even going to, I'm not familiar with FreshBiz. I'm going to make myself familiar with that after this interview today, for sure. But I do know that I've been to enough workshops where the gaming experience, a lot of people are even adding this into their branding. I know Samsonite Luggage added a whole gaming experience to their branding and really upped their game after, they're a pretty seasoned company, if you will, is a great way to word that wasn't necessarily on the radar of the best luggage now for a younger generation. And they kind of were able to rebrand themselves with this gaming component to really up their market again. So I know that it's not only becoming a great way of learning, but it's become a great way of branding as well. So that's super exciting.
Thanks. It's definitely true. I think that more and more people now are talking. There's a distinction between gamification and game-based learning.
Okay.
It's pretty awesome that both are happening simultaneously. Gamification is basically taking specific game mechanics and implanting it into either your sales or your marketing, your brand, really into any function of business. And game mechanics, are fun things that include, power-ups and winning and missions and achievements and badges and all sorts of things. And then game-based learning is, of course, the opportunity of basically bringing games into companies and training people, because simulation-based learning is the most experiential, powerful way to really put anything into your DNA, into your muscle memory, and really shift your mindset. So with our company FreshBiz, we actually do both. So we use game mechanics to actually work with companies on how they can do things in a smarter, better way. And at the same time, we also use the power of game-based learning to really embed a new way of thinking into the minds and the language of the people playing. But yeah, I'm with you. Samsung is just one of so many companies that are really using a lot of these mechanics to really innovate on how they do business. And of course, the millennials that are brought up as digital natives that are so tech savvy and so used to playing games, it just is a very natural carryover for all of them too.
That's absolutely right. Great. So tell us then how the business has shaped your lifestyle.
Oh my gosh. From what perspective?
From any perspective you want to share. How's that?
That sounds really good. It shaped our lifestyle tremendously. I think what's so interesting about your question, Belinda, is that it makes the assumption that it has shifted our lifestyle. And lifestyle is something that traditionally people haven't really ever spoken about. It's only the past few years that people actually care about this thing called lifestyle. It's really significant. Lifestyle used to just be something where, and we actually wrote about this in our book, The New Entrepreneurs. Only time you heard lifestyle was when the British guy was talking about lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Right.
In other words, you weren't allowed to have one unless you were rich and famous. maybe it was something that regular people, quote unquote, had as, if they had time left over from working their butts off, so they got to do something on the weekend. But I think that what's so interesting nowadays is that many of the new entrepreneurs that we see out there, basically they start with their lifestyle. What kind of life do I want to live? How do I want it to be set up? Do I want it to be family-centric? Do I want it to be travel-centric? Do I want to be able to just work these few hours so I can be home in time to be able to play with my kids, or to be able to travel and do X, Y, and Z? And it starts with with lifestyle. And then you're able to use that blueprint to set up what sort of professional experience you want to have after that. And I think that it's been really a phenomenal experience with us at FreshBiz because, like you know, right, more and more knowledge workers out there and more people are knowledge workers. It's not so much that they're, you know, working with their hands doing like mechanics or plumbing or things like that. And once you're in the realm of being a knowledge worker, so it's really not about how much physical time you put in. It's all about how much value you contribute. And it's so nice that the world is moving towards being more of a value-based world. So with FreshBiz, it's been awesome. I mean, we travel and train people around the planet, and we've been finding partners so that we have the leverage so that we don't have to travel as much so that this way when, you know, I just want to be able to hang out with my family locally and they can't join me for a trip, then that's okay. I know that we have leverage through having really great partners out there. We call those, by the way, in the language of FreshBiz, we call those smartnerships because they're just really smart partnerships that make sense for everybody. But, you know, just since you asked, I'm just going to share with you, you know, this past January, winter in Israel is definitely not as cold as in places in the U.S., but it was pretty chilly. Both my kids were really, you know, not feeling well for a few weeks. And I looked at my wife, Rachel. I said, you know, I think we just need to get the heck out of here. And we just picked up and we moved to Thailand. We moved to the island of Koh Samui for the entire month of February and the first week or two of March. And it was, you know, our kids felt better within about 5 days. We just had the most epic experience of our lives. My two kids got to become best friends. And I pretty much spent about 3 hours a day, about an hour and a half in the morning doing some LinkedIn work and about an hour and a half doing some calls and podcasts at night. But it was just such an awesome experience. And I looked up and I said, thank you, God, that we can do these things nowadays, that it's possible. And what was so fun about that was, you know, I have a really good partner. And of course, he understood that I'm going to be still doing what I got to do. And it worked out amazing. And Belinda, just to be honest with you, the phone calls that I had over there with people, you know, were such powerful calls. You know, you talk about working from your happy place. I mean, oh my gosh, literally overlooking, you know, beaches and pools, having calls with people from overlooking this island, you know, they were really effective calls. And it was nice hearing the feedback of other people in my life that it inspired them to do similar things with their family. So I think it's very important to place lifestyle first and then build your life around it.
That is really great advice. And that's, I love that story. That's awesome. And I think you're absolutely right. And I do think that the millennials and a younger generation, they are certainly putting that value. That's first, right? And then we're starting to see even other people now are starting to say, wow, if this is working for them, why can't we be a little bit smarter in this? I'm starting to see that people are actually looking at this younger generation and thinking that they're nuts and now going, maybe they're not nuts. Maybe we need to adopt some of these attitudes that they have because they seem to be having a pretty darn good time and they're still making money and they're enjoying life at a much greater capacity than I am. That's what I'm hearing from tons of people.
Exactly.
Great. So what are two of your greatest skill sets that you think have helped you in owning your own business?
I'd say one is my ability to hang on. Like I'll hang on forever if I really believe in something. I don't know from where this strength comes from exactly, but when I really believe in something with all my heart that it's the truth, and I'll just say this, you know, I'm a futurist. And what I mean by that is I very often see the holistic vision of what something could be. And I sort of just bring myself right there. And it could be frustrating sometimes because often it's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years away and a lot of things have to catch up. But I would just say that when I really see something, man, I hang on. And that ability to hang on has allowed me to really stick on for this journey the past 6 years with FreshBiz because 6 years ago, nobody was really talking about entrepreneurial thinking. No one was really talking about gamification or game-based learning. Maybe you had a little pocket here or two of some real early adopters. But it's really only recently that things have rapidly taken off and we've been so planted so nicely in the market because we've built so many different case studies and success stories the past 6 years. But the ability to just be unshakable when I believe in something with all my heart. So that's definitely one. And I think two is the ability to always have fun, you know. Really, it's called the fun factor. At FreshBiz, we call it serious playfulness. And serious playfulness is, you know, Belinda, if you and I sat down, we got some friends involved, and we were playing a game of, let's say, either Taboo or Cards Against Humanity or Scrabble or Boggle or any of these games, you know, we understand that in the context of it's a game. Now, once we establish the context that it's a game, we still are really serious that we want to win. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. We're serious about that. We really want to win. Now, it's a game that we're playing. But therefore, it's this really nice sort of this nice ebb and flow of serious playfulness. We're serious, but we're playing at the same time. And I think that that's something where no matter what I show up to, if I'm going to do anything, it's got to be fun. And I think it's a really healthy attitude that winds up being contagious and allows me to sort of stay with things for a while because I got the music going and I'm turning it into a fun mission, you know, as opposed to just like I'm checking LinkedIn. It's just, well, today I'm playing the LinkedIn game and I got to get to this number. And when I get to this number, I'm going to take myself out to sushi or I'm going to go on a date with my wife or I'm going to go unlock this prize. And the ability to turn, you know, things in life or things in business into different playful games with different missions and achievements, I think that's a really important skill to have also. And it's allowed me to really be able to do a lot. And I would say that those are the two skills that I'm really thankful for.
That's great. It's funny because I think playing games it's so important. Like, we're a big game family. And so we're always playing different board games and different things because I think it's important that you sort of are just spending time together without looking at your phone, without being on a computer, without, you know, having to be plugged in, but actually spending time together. But it's really funny at the different personalities that show up when you play games. And so I've told both of my older children that they can't marry anybody or even consider it until they pass game night. So if they start getting really serious about somebody, I'm like, okay, let's invite them over for game night, because you wouldn't believe the personalities that show up. Because people lose whatever front they're putting on and they become either super competitive or they're not good sports or they behave in a way that, you know, putting blame on the other person for causing the team to lose. And we just find it really, really funny. Like, we've been like, whoa, that was interesting tonight, game night.
I really get how it's a really good barometer, if you will, of relationships. You know, I didn't realize that early on, but it was just always funny. My wife is so competitive by nature. And so she literally just, like, for her, she has to win or like there's no other possibility. And for me, I'm the kind of guy who I'm just happy to play. You know what I'm saying? I'm just happy, like, just being here is fun for me. And it's not that one's right or one's wrong. They're both just different attitudes that we have. I will tell you one thing which we find that's really interesting. And I don't know if you ever thought about it, but because my whole industry essentially is the world of running game-based trainings, literally, I see this a lot, and it's really fascinating. People don't realize that playing games, you're not just playing some frivolous game of, you know, for example, Monopoly, let's say, where you're just, hey, we have a few hours to kill. We're just going to play Monopoly. Everything that we do in simulation form, we're really training our brain in. We're developing new neural pathways, new neural connections, and new ways of behavior. And that's why one of the key things is the question is, what game are you playing? And what does winning look like? In other words, what are you training yourself in? Too many of us have been brought up playing games like Monopoly that really, if you think about it, train us to think that in order to win, we have to destroy everybody else financially. Matter of fact, it's a game. It's such a zero-sum, last-man-standing game where I would never want to help anybody because helping anybody means that I'm committing suicide and I'm not an idiot. And these attitudes are not just like in a game, because the brain doesn't distinguish between real life and game. To the brain, it's all the same thing. They're actually different ways of playing. So literally, you know, and they found this, I mean, they found this tremendously when people were playing things like Grand Theft Auto, where it's just this crazy game where you just can kill people and drive over people and do all this stuff. And then people would get in their cars and get into crazy accidents because they continue to sort of play the game outside of the game. And that's why I think that nowadays, a lot of people are really bringing a lot of mindfulness and consciousness to, well, what kind of games am I playing with my family? You know, am I playing games that flex the muscles of collaboration and resourcefulness and multidimensional thinking? Or am I playing games that teach us that, like, we have to literally starve and destroy people because that's the only way to win? Because all those behaviors wind up carrying over in real life. So it's just a really interesting side conversation. Obviously, I like to have fun and play games too, but I'm just bringing up sort of the deeper perspective about it for a second.
You know, that is so interesting. I absolutely love that. Because some of the games that we love playing the most now are like sort of team based. So you can collaborate with your team members and then come up with your answer and you're working together. And then at the end of it, everybody's just had so much fun. And versus, I never was a huge Monopoly fan ever, even when I was a kid. And I liked acquiring the, you know, all of the things, but I never felt good at the end, even if I won. I didn't feel good at the end, whether I was the winner or the loser. It just didn't seem that much fun. So it's really interesting to me because I have not ever once sort of looked at it from that perspective. But I do know that the games we continue now to repeat the most are the games that we love playing the logo game. That's one of our favorite games. And, you know, we have teams and then you get to think about, collaborate with each other on, oh, what was that? And thinking about it. And then you're competing against the other team, which is fun. But you're, you know, working together to come up with your answers and to be thinking. And it's a lot of fun. And that's kind of like one of our favorites. But when I sit and think about it now, what are we playing the most? It's those that are teaching teamwork versus those that are like, let me destroy you. You're absolutely right.
Nice. Yeah. And I just want to say to you, just, I'm happy to be on your show and I'll follow up with you afterwards. I'm definitely going to send you and your family a game of Fresh Biz for you guys to be able to play with at home for sure.
Oh, thanks. All right. So tell us about one of your greatest accomplishments and something that's meaningful for you.
Man, there's been a lot of milestones. That's for sure. I think two things that I'm especially proud of is getting our company Fresh Biz to be part of two really important movements nowadays that are happening in the business world. One is being picked up as part of the game for conscious capitalism, which is a really great movement that's happening in chapters all over the world. Raj Sisodia, who's just a really beautiful person, and John Mackey, who's the founder of Whole Foods, wrote the book Conscious Capitalism about it's important for us to go ahead and to be out there and selling products and services and making money, but it's important for us to do it from a conscious perspective where it really contributes to the world. So it's sort of like bringing spirituality to business in a beautiful way. And it's awesome that we got picked up as being sort of a game of conscious capitalism. We have a lot of partners that are conscious capitalists or conscious capitalist partners, and we get to do things in all sorts of countries and really be basically the game that people can play to develop that mindset, which is awesome. And the second thing is that we were the first company in the entire, I mean, for sure in Israel, but really in the entire Middle East to make it to the Game Changers 500. And Game Changers 500 is sort of the new barometer of success for companies in the new shared economy. In other words, young entrepreneurs, students graduating college, people starting businesses and stuff really didn't have a role model for what success looks like, because typically it's always been the Fortune 500 companies or the Fortune 1000 companies. But if you really think about it, and people are thinking about it, which is nice, is Fortune 500, Fortune 1000, they only celebrate one thing: how much money you made. So it doesn't matter what you did, how many trees were cut down, how many villages were destroyed, how many animals are extinct. Nothing matters except for how much money you make. And the world that we're in right now, I mean, you read about this everywhere. People really care. There's many more currencies than just money. And people are really waking up to this. And Game Changers 500, started by Andrew Hewitt, great TED talk that he gave. Me and my partner Ronan watched it. We were so inspired. We said, we have got to apply to be part of Game Changers 500. And we were accepted. So you have companies on Game Changers 500 like Kickstarter and Etsy and Zappos and Whole Foods and Tom's and Warby Parker's, all these companies that are really, you know, they're winning on so many different levels. They care about being eco-friendly and about having empowered employees and about sustainability and about impact. And, you know, there's been a lot of people talking about that the new millionaires are people who not make a million, but they impact a million lives. The new billionaires are not people who make a billion, but they impact a billion lives. So I think for us, it was very affirmational to get sort of swept up in these two movements, Game Changers 500, Conscious Capitalism, because it really affirms our values and what we aspire, hopefully, to really take people and companies through a process that can bring them to a place where, man, they just have an expanded perspective on what being in business and what winning looks like. Business as opposed to just making money, but business as a vehicle for self-expression, for art, and for impacting the world.
That's wonderful. That's really great information. And I couldn't agree with you more about the importance. And I think people are starting to put a greater importance on a global market, but like, what do you contribute? What are you contributing to the world other than just, you know, you've made a ton of money? And I think that that has become a consciousness for a lot of people. I know even with the companies that I work with, the first thing that a lot of people want to know is, what's your platform for giving back? You know, people want to associate with a company that they know is doing something to contribute to others, maybe less fortunate, or all this money that you're making is also helping out in this particular arena. And that's one of the first questions I get when I'm working with different companies and I'm talking to other people is, what's their platform for giving back? So I think that there's an awareness out there and a shift that is happening for people that just because you're, like you said, billionaires or you've made a ton of money, well, what are your other contributions? And people are becoming very aware of that.
Exactly. Exactly.
So tell us then about an obstacle or challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
Yeah, sure. So this has already become sort of like a little bit of a famous story that I talk about because, man, it was so frustrating, so disheartening. I mentioned before about things like being too early, if you will, okay? Being a little bit of a futurist, seeing things and waiting for people to catch up. And anyways, at one point pretty early on, this must have been about four years ago, we said to ourselves, you know what? FreshBiz has got to be out there like a game that you basically can buy for your family. And it's got to be a home version of the game, right? So what we did is we wound up taking a tremendous amount of cash and producing a tremendous amount of games to be able to market. In our head, our goal was to essentially get people to play the new game, FreshBiz, as opposed to the old school game of Monopoly, right? So
right.
just to transition people into 2016 or whatever it was back then. And it was too early. You know, here we were in Israel. We didn't really have too much of a base in the US at that point. Really, our community was in this small little country, this small little market here inside Israel. And so we relied on a sales team to be able to sell for us on Amazon. We printed the games in China, and it was like this crazy comedy of events, this like perfect storm that didn't work out, where, you know, the games were delayed by about 6 months coming from China to where they needed to go. And then there were a few errors and like somehow it wasn't the latest prototype of the game. So we had to go back and we had to redo it again. The people on Amazon weren't able to sell it for the price point that we were expecting that they were going to be able to sell it. And it wound up equaling something like they literally were making us zero money whatsoever as a product for people, and we just had to pull the plug on it. But we had thousands and thousands and thousands of games now stuck in inventory. So we basically converted cash into inventory, and then we're just sort of stuck in a bottleneck. And it was really frustrating, really disheartening. My goodness, you know,
right.
we had to reformat the company. We had to we literally took a couple weeks of just really being down and really being down and out and saying, okay, how do we turn this into a blessing? Like, what do we do about this, you know? And it took some time, but one of the things that it allowed us to do was it allowed us to really pivot nicely and basically take these games that were meant at that point to be a home version of the game. We wound up repackaging it all into being a professional trainer's kit, where as opposed to, let's say, I don't know, you know, let's say selling a game for $50 or $80, depending on, you know, what it includes, you know, at this point now, we basically sell training kits to executive coaches and top-level trainers really everywhere for about $5,000. And it essentially is like a business in a box for them where they can go make tremendous income. We have partners making a lot of income, six figures, just using our platform, right? So it was a perfect time to transition from this being like a home version of a game to this being what's called, what IBM calls a serious game. And we transitioned into creating a trainer's kit. And that really, over the past few years, has allowed us to expand our reach and our impact. You know, we get to train companies like Ernst & Young and Accenture and WeWork and HP and Pfizer and IBM and some really amazing companies that use us and love us and bring us in for their conferences and retreats to train their management or their executives or their sales teams. So it wound up being something that really hurt us and really had us be stuck for a long time going, oh my God, how the heck did we do this? Wound up being something that allowed us to really become the serious game that we've become. And now, between you and I, we're about 18 months away from introducing the home version of the game, now that we have already been established and now that we have people that have heard about us, so that when we come into the market, it'll be coming in warmly accepted as opposed to having to start from scratch. But that was a huge obstacle. I mean, really a huge obstacle, just from someone who, you know, was just trying to pay bills and provide for my family and was really bordering going bankrupt at that point, to really being able to flip the whole thing around and turn into this incredible this incredible asset that it wound up becoming. That was a pretty dark hour.
I bet it was. And it's easy to just, you know, it's easy for a lot of people just to say, to give up or to just stay focused in that box. It's like people get sort of stay in the same box of thinking where you need to become solution minded in, okay, we made this mistake. We've got this. Now, what do we do with it? How can we turn this into a positive situation? And I think that if a lot of people wouldn't give up in that space of, you know, I loved it that you shared, you were really depressed for several weeks, because a lot of times you get beat up. It takes time to do a little bit of healing. Just like if you were, you know, if you were in a car accident or something, you got pretty beat up, you know, you would need a few weeks of healing. But then you're like, okay, now I'm better. Now I can start. I can do this. And I think a lot of people get beat up and then they just stay in that space. They stay depressed. They stay in that. And then they go, well, that didn't work. And, you know, it was unfortunate. And I'm going to be really careful never to take a risk like that again. I mean, these are words I hear from people instead of saying, okay, We stayed stuck for a few minutes. Now let's pick ourselves up and say, okay, how can we turn this around? What is our solution to this? And oftentimes the solution that you come up with and it forces you to move to is a better situation than the one you had originally. But I think people often don't ever get to that point of seeing the fruits of their labor, if you will, or even the fruits of their catastrophe, because they stay living in the catastrophe.
I'm with you about that. You know, as you were saying that, a couple of things popped up for me. One is a really great, great quote that my partner Ronen Goffney says, and he's just so good. He says, you know, in life, you're never short on money. You're only short on creativity. And I think it's so key to know that you're never stuck financially. It's just, it's never a question of finances. It's always a question of creativity. How do I be more creative to get the results that I need? And I love that quote, and it's really deeply true. And the second thing I want to say, because you mentioned this, you know, where people get stuck in something or something happens and they go, well, I'm never going to do that ever again. And, you know, this is what we call learning the wrong lesson. You know, you don't ever want to learn the wrong lesson. The wrong lesson is, I'm never going to do this ever again. It might be right in some cases, but and we go through this in a lot of our workshops that we run. We call it the spiral of business. Business is a spiral. Life is a spiral. So all because something didn't work 10 years ago has literally nothing to do with the fact that it really might work today. It's a different climate, a different environment. People are in a different place. They have a different headspace. So I'm not saying that we should therefore specifically do things or don't do things based on this, but it's important to know, you know, whatever the algorithm on Facebook marketing was 3 years ago is great. It's not relevant today. Whatever the algorithm for SEO Google stuff was last year isn't relevant today. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't go back. We shouldn't try something new or try something different, right? That whole idea that because something didn't work 20 years ago, it's not going to work today. It's just, it's so ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense. We got to keep evolving and seeing what does work and how we can get better.
That's great. So what advice would you give to those listening today that want to be entrepreneurs? They're like, wow, this guy's got it made, you know, like this just sounds so exciting, but I'm not like him, or I don't know. I don't have those same skill sets. And so what advice would you give to people that just really want to follow their dream, I guess is the best way I can put it.
Yeah. So I guess a few things. One, definitely get our book. It's called The New Entrepreneurs with a Z at the end. I just want to put this out there, which is if you live in North America and you send a text message to 44144, so you text 44144 with the word book, I'll send you the first four chapters of The New Entrepreneurs book for free. So that's just for starters. It's got a pure message about the future of business and the new mindset that you can have. So that's number one. The second thing that I would just say is, and this is key to know this, is you really got to understand that life and business is a game. Business wasn't created, you know, by God or the universe. It was created by man. In other words, there's game mechanics. And if it was created by man, then we can tweak it, we can shift it, we can bend it, and we can really hack it. And you have a lot of people right now talking about life hacks and business hacks and growth hacks. And business is a game, and we can learn really how to hack the game. And I think what's important to know is you don't have to have it all figured out before you start. You just need to know that the resources are out there. The experts are out there. You don't have to start from scratch. All because you don't know something right now doesn't mean that you can't, quote unquote, become someone who's really proficient or really an expert in a week or two, you know, with all the online learning that's available. The e-learning industry is blowing up like crazy right now because people understand that people are hopping on the internet from all walks of life across the planet, and they just want to get caught up to speed and learn from some of the best people out there. And you can. It's no longer confined to where you live. So when you understand that business is a game and you can hack it and you could shorten your learning curve by learning from incredible, incredible people out there and tapping into incredible resources out there, then you could really play a better and smarter game. I just want to add a few things. You know, you think about this communication, you know, right now you can jump on Skype and it's free. I mean, that's crazy. That was unheard of years ago. You can work out of WeWork and you don't need to go ahead and to buy an office space to then have 30 employees, because you can hire freelancers and you could hire e-lancers and you could hire virtual assistants and you could pay per gig and you could pay per click. And the cost of doing business has dramatically decreased so much. But unfortunately, for the most part, the mindset has still stayed the same. And that's why the same numbers are still, unfortunately, are still applicable, which is the number, you know, it's like 70 or 80% of businesses fail within their first few years. Well, why is that still the numbers nowadays in 2017? Nothing's changed in the past 20 years. The whole business climate has changed. And I think because, again, people are still trying to continue playing the old game of business. In this new game of business, and we talk a lot about what that looks like in the book, things have dramatically gone down in price. The reach has never been wider. So I think it's just so important to know, no matter where you're at, you can tap into whatever you need to be able to be successful.
That is great advice. So share with us in closing then some new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners could benefit from, and also share with them how they can find you.
Sure. A few of the things that we're working on right now, we're going to be doing a U.S. tour in August. So we're actually putting on a few 2 and 3 day FreshBiz experiences in New York City, San Francisco, and Austin. So on our website, freshbizgame.com, that'll be available really in the next week or so, that we're going to be launching some of these events, because we have a lot of entrepreneurs and solopreneurs that would like to tap in and don't want to wait for their company to bring us in. So that's going to be available. We started also working with a number of MBA programs. And I'm really proud to say that we're really embedding ourselves in the educational system. So as opposed to waiting until after people graduate college, if they even go to university anymore, then starting their entrepreneurship dream, about really having it start earlier. We're doing right now our first high school game-based entrepreneurship curriculum right now. And it's my vision to roll out to many high schools across America and eventually the world. So that's an exciting project, about starting earlier, training our kids in entrepreneurial thinking, what that looks like. And I would think, and I would just add that the third exciting project that we're working on is getting our book translated into more languages. So I mentioned, you know, we just came out in Hebrew about a week ago. We're coming out in Spanish in about 2 months. And we have someone on our team specifically that's working to really help unlock the new entrepreneur's mindset in many different languages. So that, I think, is really exciting. The last thing I'll say is, we're basically, for 2017, we decided to take on 150 executive coaches and trainers in the U.S. To give them the platform to be able to run FreshBiz all across the country. So far for this year, we're at close to 30 or 40 of attracting really high-level people. So if you're a coach listening, or you're a trainer, or you know someone who's really good, you can go on our website, you can apply and check that out. And I'm going to just say that the last thing that you asked, Belinda, how to get in touch. So my name is Simcha Gluck. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook as well. My partner, Ronen Gafni, G-A-F-N-I, is on LinkedIn and Facebook also. Any way that we could be a resource for you in the world of entrepreneurial thinking, multidimensional thinking, and creativity in business, it would be our pleasure. Our website is freshbizgame.com. And I just want to say also, for being a listener of your show, anyone and everyone that orders any training experiences from FreshBiz for 2017, all you need to do is, in the comments, just write work from your happy place, and we're going to give you an extra 15% off everything you do with us for the year.
Oh, that is fantastic. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
All right. Well, this has been an absolute delight. I have learned so many things myself, and I'm sure that our listeners have as well. And it's just been a great pleasure meeting you and having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Belinda, thanks so much for having me. Let's do some great things.
Let's do that. Bye now.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.